You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 10th, Good Friday. There is news other than the coronavirus story. We should not forget that we have U.S. troops in harm's way. And now comes a report that new U.S. airstrikes killed at least 11 Al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorists in Somalia. We took out these strikes because this was a defensive measure after they were in turn engaging U.S. and Somali government forces. Good. Protect our forces at all points. The markets, of course, with everything that's been going on, you didn't know how the week was going to end up. Right now, the market's trading up now about 200 plus. And right now, based on where we are, we're looking at a weekly gain of around 12.7%. And believe it or not, that's going to make it one of the best weeks ever for the Dow Jones Blue Chip Index. And Treasury Secretary Mnuchin is suggesting it is possible the U.S. economy could reopen in May. He said, I think as soon as the president feels comfortable with all the medical issues, making sure that American companies and American workers can be open, at the same time be safe. Washington State, which is where they had an outbreak of coronavirus early, they even set up a field hospital, expecting hundreds and hundreds. They set up a field hospital inside Washington State, inside a Seattle Convention Center. They're dismantling it, and they never took in a single patient. Not one. It turned out, because they got far enough ahead on it in Washington State, their facilities they had existing could take care of it. So now, they're breaking down that facility with 250 beds, lab, x-ray machines, and shipping them to some other areas that might need them more. We've already heard about such facilities being set up in New York City. And out of New York City comes a grim story. Aerials over the Hart Island, Potter's Field, which is where they bury the indigent, and those unidentified. They are now carrying out mass burials. 40 caskets, all lined up for burial at Hart Island. Normally, they put 25 a week into that location, mostly for those families who can't afford a funeral or who go unclaimed. We're looking at the same case in this. They cannot identify who should take the body, or no one's coming forward to claim it. No one wants to have any connection to it, and they're going into common graves at this point. And the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai says that this large-scale outbreak in New York City came predominantly through Europe, not China. Now, granted, China was part of the beginning issue, was the beginning issue, but there was concern already as to how fast it was spreading. If you recall, President Trump shut down the Chinese flights January 31, and then by mid-March, March 18, or rather prior to that, March 13, he put in the travel ban on flights coming out of Europe for any European travelers entering the U.S. through international flights. Both of those decisions might have saved a lot of American lives. So COVID-19 is now the number one cause of death in the U.S., killing more people on average per day than cancer or heart disease. And so many are now saying, well, if this is killing more than those, why we never shut down for any of the others? Well, the others are not a rapidly spread disease, is what we have. And Dr. Jerome Adams, Surgeon General, has said, we don't and have not shut down cities in the past for something like measles, but this was something that needed immediate attention, an escalation. The World Health Organization, which, of course, carried the story from China that everything was okay, don't worry, and is is directly involved in the lie that has cost lives across the globe, now says it needs more money and is coming to the U.S. with hands stretched out for $1 billion U.S. dollars to underwrite operations against the pandemic. Right. The World Health Organization is getting praise from the Vatican, thanking China. I should not say the World Health, but China itself, being praised by the Vatican for sending donations of medical supplies to combat coronavirus. I think the Vatican should check those supplies closely. Other supplies China has sent around the world have either been outdated or just flat not workable. Check it.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
President doesn't look too good. He has confused people. He sent the wrong messages. He has been given advice that he should not give. And so now I think that perhaps they believe that they can wipe away that history. But I want to tell you, it's going to remain recorded.
That is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. She's attacking President Trump in his news conferences, giving information, as she said. Let me see. What's her exact quote here? I've got it here. He's been giving advice he should not have given. She's referring to the fact that the president said chloroquine might help save some lives. Hydroxychloroquine might do that. He didn't say, I'm a doctor. I'm not prescribing it as a doctor. I'm just saying it might. And if doctors want to use it, I want the FDA to loosen the reins and let them use it off prescribed sources and use it as they need to and want to. And many of those who are immediately out crying that that's wrong, you're going to endanger the American public, well, immediately doctors started going to it as a possible cure or at least help. In New York, they put 4,000 patients on the drug immediately and combining it with other types of drugs, something as simple as a Z-Pack you would get for sinuses and colds, they've had a great deal of success. In fact, one of the network news doctors that they have on from time to time on one of the networks talked about he knew of a 98-year-old man who had coronavirus, COVID-19, confirmed, and they gave him hydrochloroquine along with a Z-Pack, and he's out of the bed the next day. The doctor knew the guy personally because it was his father. And then you had folks like the Michigan governor insisting if doctors try to use that drug simply because Trump said it, we will come and take your license away from you. Come back to the fact, what do you want to do for you and your family? if you or a member of your family are desperately ill and you're told this hasn't been treated, used for a direct treatment for this disease, but it might be effective, do you want to try it? Yes. Yes. There's no hesitation. Well, now some are saying, well, but some folks who have taken it, they end up losing their peripheral vision, or, you know, they feel a little unsteady, but they're alive at this point. Congresswoman Waters, like so many on the left, has been incensed that President Trump gets these afternoon news conferences because it gives him a chance, as they say, to politicize and to rally his crowd around him. He's doing the job the president should be doing. I would not chastise or complain if the situation had happened during Obama and Obama was up there with the doctors. And Obama would be making his own statements. And you know the questions would be thrown to him, as they have with Trump. Of course, not as indicting questions. But they just can't stand him up there doing it. I take you back to Anderson Cooper the other way, talking about how Trump is handling what is supposed to be, quote, a news conference.
What we saw was a hijacking. Hijacking of the task force press conference by a president determined to rewrite the history of his early and reprehensibly irresponsible response to this virus. What the president showed us today is what the nation's top scientists have to deal with every day. A president who now uses these briefings as a re-election platform, an opportunity to lie, to deflect, to attack, to bully, and cover up his own deadly dismissals of the virus for crucial weeks.
That last section of words, his dismissal, the last crucial weeks, I have right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook, the clip which we aired yesterday a couple of times, where numerous Democrats were lining up saying, oh, this is no thing to be worried about. As Nancy Pelosi said, come on down to Chinatown with me. Let's have lunch together. And earlier in the previous hour, I was referring to Dr. Fauci in the beginning. He did not think this was going to be that big of a deal. And so yet here they are because Trump was not shouting from the rooftop in panic from the beginning, then he obviously didn't do things right. And yet he was the one who shut down the flights from China, January 31, and then March 13 shut down European flights, unless they were being properly screened and so forth. But they want to say he misstepped at the beginning at some point. Well, I think we all have. But what gets me is that we're still in the midst of this crisis, and they want to continue to make it a blame game every step of the way. Oh, yeah, there were some more liberal spears being thrown at Trump. I mean, on MSNBC, you got Chris Hayes talking about there's a Trump conspiracy that maybe he wanted to overpredict deaths, overpredict the number of deaths we would have, so when it came in lower, Trump could take a victory lap. Just listen to some of this nonsense.
Tens of thousands of people who will die in the country, or have some of them have already died, more are still going to die because of Donald Trump's incompetence and lack of leadership.
Here we have a president who is exploiting a national crisis to move forward his own agenda, his own revenge, his own profit.
His own profit. Now see, that's that other hook they've thrown in. Because someone found through going through different trust details and so forth that one of the many trusts that Trump has off to the side that he has no hands on at this point might have had a stake of an investment in one of the companies that produces hydrochloroquine. It's not a patent drug anymore. Anyway, it's like if you're going to do counterfeiting, may I suggest something to you? If you're going to counterfeit money, you don't want to counterfeit dollar bills. Give me a break. If you're going to counterfeit, you want to counterfeit at least $20 bills. So if you're going to be pushing a drug, you really want to push a drug that's under a patent and no one can get it unless they come directly to you. This drug is not under a patent. You don't have to go through this particular pharmaceutical group. But they're wanting to say that they found some evidence. You know what it came down to? Maybe $100 value. Maybe whatever he held had $100 value. He's not pushing it for money. But again, this was part of the outcry, the allegation, the rant from the mainstream media that you just got to, you start looking at why Trump is up there using these news conferences, talking about this drug all the time. Brzezinski on Morning Joe, MSNBC again, basically saying, follow the money.
It is important to say about this drug that the president keeps pushing. A lot of people would say, follow the money. There's got to be some sort of financial tie to someone somewhere that has the president pushing this repeatedly.
I just told you what the tie was. And they know what the tie is as well. But they don't bother reporting that aspect because you just deflate the story. Never, 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 never let the facts get in the way of a good story. That's always been my creed. I say that to folks, they look at me, what? No, I'm just mocking, having fun. But for these folks, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. Claim that he's trying to promote the drug to make money. Claim that he's only using these news conferences to build himself up in a future bid for the White House, as if he needs all of these. Because poor Joe Biden can't get any on the air anywhere. We've only seen him recently because Sanders said, I'm out of the race. And then everybody went running to Biden saying, now what? And there's still nothing he can do at this point. And when you hear the left cry out that Trump is using this as a political gambit, that he's using his daily press conferences simply for political purposes, when they cry out like that, make note that they see that they would like to have that opportunity because that's they know it could hurt them. When I see Trump up there during one of these news conferences and putting up, call 1-800 and donate now to my campaign, then I will join them in chastising. Right now, he's doing what I expect the leader of the nation to do, regardless of the president's name. And the problem we have now is some of these so-called news anchors, they're no longer even acting like they're unbiased. It's one thing I expect from a Don Lemon fruitcake. He's got his own TV hour, he's two, whatever. That's his program. He's going to say what he wants. Just like this is Larry Connors, USA. I say what I want. I'm not a news anchor anymore. I do what I want here. It's my opinion. It's my opinion every step of the way. You have any doubt, I'll make sure you know it's my opinion. Anderson Cooper, he's not a news anchor. Yet they'll send him out as a news anchor onto a hurricane or something like that. And he tries to act like a newsman. So did Don Lemon Fruitcake during the Ferguson shooting, coming in, rushing in like a news reporter, correspondent. Do you give up all of that? You give up all of that once you become a host of your own program. I'd been asked repeatedly, hey, do you want to go back into TV news? I said, I can't. I couldn't do it right now because I've made my feelings and opinions clear. So no one should believe me as being credible, even if I'm trying to tell a credible story about a particular event that involved politics. Let me give you an example again. Let's go to remarks made by the UN Secretary General when he's trying to tell everyone that everything is good and now we should praise China as to how fast it acted on dealing with the coronavirus.
Yesterday, Wuhan reported no new cases for the first time since the outbreak started. Wuhan provides hope for the rest of the world that even the most severe situation can be turned around.
And it's a lie, but he carried that story for them. And for news agencies to report it, they should at least put a buffer and then show the facts in behind it that China was the one that started it, China was the one that was hiding it, but they don't do it. What they want to do is every opportunity they get is to attack Trump. Here's another example of this is supposed to be a news anchor off of one of the networks, doing a story on just facts, just the facts, ma'am. Give me just the facts. Don't put your little spin on it at the end. But listen how it comes unraveled, because they just can't resist it.
As the coronavirus pandemic continues to wreak havoc around the world, the U.S. has now overtaken every other country to become the first country to report more than 100,000 confirmed cases, surpassing China and Italy in the most perverse possible version of Trump's signature slogan, America First.
Do you hear that? The most perverse version of Trump's America First? She could have done the whole story short of that, but they got to take that little extra jab because, well, Hillary did it. Remember, Hillary put out on her tweet, well, Trump did say America first. Ha ha ha. Like, that's funny. And that was that news anchor. I don't even know which network it was. It might have been CNN, but actually supposed to be doing a news report, not an editorial, not a commentary, not doing her own show, but a report. But she had to throw in the perverse Trump slogan, America First, mocking, attacking. They cannot be, quote, straight news anchors. And then you got the Democrat analyst that says Republicans will kill people to stay in power. Literally. Literally that Republicans are willing to kill people in order to stay in power. Now I'll have that story coming up right after this break.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. RedFitnessLounge.com.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels, old number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the analyst that says that Republicans will kill people to stay in power, literally, James Carville. That Cajun, I love to hear him talk. James Carville, he start talking about, you know, we're gonna shuck this and do that. I love that accent. I really do. Well, here's what he was doing. He was going after Trump the other day and the Republicans in general. This, of course, had to do with the Wisconsin election. As you know, they did end up having the primary, I should say election primary, and the Democrats wanted to cancel their primary. And they got a state court to agree with them. Well, it went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court, 5-4 decision, said, no, go ahead and hold it. Well, they're claiming, oh, well, you're making us either decide we either vote and die or we stay home and lose our right to vote. Nobody died in Wisconsin, to my knowledge, by going out to vote at that date or since then. But James Carville was saying, it's classic Republicans. He said, what we have here, they're going to do anything they can, muck up this election in Wisconsin to help the Republicans, to hurt the Democrats. He said they, the Republicans, will kill people to stay in power. Literally. James, you're funny. You're funny. And as I was talking about a moment ago, about these so-called straight news anchors that are supposed to be doing stories in a straight fashion, and that was a clip of a CNN anchor a moment ago talking about Trump and the deaths and had to throw in her kind of twisted little remark at the end. Jim Acosta is a White House correspondent for CNN. That is supposed to be a correspondent, not a pundit, not an analyst, not a commentator, a reporter. That's what he's supposed to be because that's what they put him up as being. But he never has acted as a journalist. He goes in mocking, attacking the president. You know that. He does it on a continuous basis. The other day, he was constantly interrupting Dr. Birx, just to get his points across. And he attacks President Trump. He has yet to slam the World Health Organization for how it lied to the U.S. and the rest of the world. He hasn't mentioned one word about that, but he's attacking Trump. And Trump at that time was relying on the World Health Organization's remarks. Looking at a comment here from, and of course they didn't like the fact the other day when the president said, I'm going to try to be a cheerleader. Don Lemon Fruitcake said, a cheerleader? We don't want a cheerleader. It's obviously a plot to just get it reelected. That's what Cooper said. He's just hijacking these news conferences. The managing editor for Newsbusters pointed out there is no wall of separation in how CNN's political commentators handle their job versus anchors and reporters. That's true. She said the commentaries, the digs, the eye rolls, the bluffing, the snarky chyrons, all intended to make a point, not be journalists. Absolutely correct. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with James Hersin right out of Hollywood to see how we're doing with coronavirus and the quarantine. And James always brings a fresh sound to these airwaves and this program as he lets us know how the high and elite leftist are doing. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Heat Bat Production.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And we welcome back a guest who is a New York Times bestselling author, international business attorney, news analyst, commentating on the cultural events of our world and Hollywood, James Hersin. Glad to have you back on board, James.
Great to be with you, Larry. How are you?
I'm good. And how have you and the rest of Hollywood done with this last week of quarantine, self-imposed, and separation?
Well, you know, the poor Hollywood celebrities are confined to their 20-acre estates and their personal bodyguards, and they're very sad. And so they're taking it all out on President Trump, because obviously everything is President Trump's fault. But what's interesting to me is you look at the partisan divide that is occurring regarding the question of when to reopen the government. Now, we see other countries are reopening. There are states that have never closed down, never shut down. And the president and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and many, many Republican politicians are starting to lay the groundwork and saying, hey, this is urgent. We've got to get back to work. But note this. Note the voices of the Democrat Party, who do not want to reopen the country, who do not want to pass legislation to help small businesses, who we can only conclude that the Democrats and their allies at CNN and MSNBC and the broadcast media want to harm the nation for one reason, for politics.
I second that. And in fact, to that extent, when they were simply asking yesterday, when Mitch McConnell said, just come in and give us this additional $250 billion on top of what you've already approved so we can have enough money to go forward. No, it's an emergency measure. Don't attach strings to it. And Nancy Pelosi told Schumer, do not let that go forward, and we'll hold them hostage. Well, now the Senate says, fine, we'll deal with it in a couple of weeks, which when it comes down to the delay, it's on the Democrats' back. But do you think anyone remembers that?
Well, it's up to the Trump campaign and to the individual campaigns to make people remember, that when the coronavirus was first being discussed, the Democrat Party was busy impeaching the president over a fake charge, and that the Democrat Party now is engaged in historical revisionism when they stopped the most common sense actions that the government could take, that of closing the freaking border, and especially to China, when the Democrats and their allies in the media claimed that was xenophobic and racist. God forbid. God forbid. And thank God that these Democrats like Schumer and Pelosi are not in charge, because this country would be over.
Absolutely.
They want
Absolutely.
To shut it down indefinitely.
So,
the advisor to Joe Biden, I just want to get this out, Ezekiel Emanuel, this man has publicly, with a very calm demeanor, said we should shut down the United States of America economy for 18 months.
Yeah.
Now, anyone with any common sense knows that 18 months of shutdown destroys the fabric of this nation.
They would get what they want is a socialist nation. They'd get a socialist nation.
We would get a totalitarian nation, and it would be communist, Marxist, a la the country that's responsible.
I spent a lot of time yesterday, and it's up on my Facebook from yesterday for folks who missed it, about a two-minute clip of Democrats in the beginning, how they were mishandling coronavirus, saying, there's nothing to it, no big deal. Come have dinner with me. Come to Chinatown, Pelosi said. Let's have lunch together. And even Dr. Fauci was saying in the beginning it's not that big of a deal. So there were a lot of missteps and a lot of blame to go around. Trying to get us reopened is the next thing. Now we're going into the most holy day for Christians, Sunday. Obviously, churches are not going to be packed as the president wanted. We're not going to have that happen. But you've taken note of how some of the electronic churches and the outreaches, especially in the Hollywood area, are dealing with this.
Well, there are a bunch of trendy churches in Hollywood that a lot of celebrities.
Let me ask, when you say trendy, are you meaning that as a mocking and demeaning, a demeaning way, or what do you
mean?
Well,
I don't. I really don't, because they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the heathen non-believers in the pit of hell in Hollywood. So God bless them, but they were born on social media. These churches came out of Instagram. And Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez and lots of people that your audience has never heard of show up, these young celebrities. And so they have a real easy time because they have already been online. But the mainline churches, the mainline denominations, particularly the Catholic Church, has had to adjust, and the Orthodox churches and the churches that engage in liturgical worship. But the amazing thing is, it's historical. There's an old saying that there are no atheists in a foxhole. And for goodness sake, right now, we're all in a foxhole. And so what's happened is record numbers of people have tuned in to online worship. And because I was one of many who I heard that President Trump was going to attend online Greg Laurie's Harvest Crusade Church, Harvest Church in Riverside, California. I logged on, and lo and behold, what I saw was this fast-moving chat box, where you see people posting things really quickly, and almost to a person that's saying, thank you, President Trump, we're praying for you, we appreciate your leadership. And Trump himself chatted and thanked the people. It was an extraordinary moment.
So it's actually become a silver lining in the midst of this as far as religion, connecting people back to religion?
I think there's a number of positives. You know, I mean, obviously, people are helping each other out. Generally, most people are concerned about their neighbors. They're reaching out to family members they haven't talked to. There's a lot of feeling of getting into transcendent values. You know, one of the things the scripture says in the Old Testament and the Psalms, be still and know
yes.
that I am God. There's something about stillness, and we've been forced to come to a halt and be still. So I think there's a reason that people who haven't gone to a house of worship are because of they're stuck at home and all of a sudden, and especially it's going to be, I mean, the internet's going to be taxed
right.
this Sunday. That's going to be a big challenge. But I think the churches have really risen to the occasion, and there's something very beautiful about it.
I think there is, yeah, and I think it bringing us back, and a lot of people might have suddenly realized that this is Easter Sunday, whereas before it's just another day to go golfing, and I'm not knocking them if they either, you know, don't, they're not religious or they just haven't, but this time around it's getting more attention. You had pointed out in our closing minute here in your piece something that I had not noticed before in Hollywood, Church Home, that you say is best known for, it has a theater in Beverly Hills where front rows are reserved for celebrities. I why would you want to be a celebrity, go to that church and sit on the front row? I don't get that at all.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, the pastors of these churches know that there's a power in celebrity endorsement, so they give them special ways to enter and leave the church, and they put them in the front home. And Church Home is one of those, maybe the best known one. One of these trendy mega churches,
right?
But it, you know, it doesn't. I mean, to me, that's fantastic because, you know, if somebody like a Justin Bieber, who is a professed Christian, hears some preaching, reads the Bible, and prays, that's going to be a positive.
I agree. I've had some friends very successful out in California. They said they were regretting their. I said, use it. God gave it to you, and you can have contact with people many of us would never have a chance to meet.
Well, that's true. I mean, churches are always places where you meet people, particularly young people who are single. I think it's one of the best ways for people to, meet the opposite sex after this thing settles. Better than going to a bar, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, so, James, again, I want to thank you very much. We always enjoy having you on, and I certainly wish you a happy Easter. And we'll see where we are as when we can get the economy back restarted. How soon?
A blessed Easter to you, Steve. Mnuchin says May.
Yep.
I'm sure hoping that it's sooner rather than later.
All right. Thanks again, James, for your time. Happy Easter to you, sir. Blessed it. James Herson from Hollywood. Always glad to have the man on board. It does bring some insight that you wouldn't hear from anywhere else, would you? And he's very candid in his remarks. So there's something that's been interesting that took place at, do you remember a movie called Cannonball Run? It was basically a race across the United States. Well, with all the traffic off the highways, a group decided to get together and see what kind of record can we set driving across the U.S. in a record time, a 2020 Cannonball Run. That story coming up when we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Run, 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 little Rero, when their backs are turned. Run, 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 little Rero, when their backs are turned.
Run, 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 with a railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on, and you
gotta move on at night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
1981. Burt Reynolds starring in Cannonball Run. That was the original. Well, of course, we have not had a lot of traffic on the highways lately because of the coronavirus shutdown. We have trucks still moving on the highway. We still have cars moving, but it's greatly reduced, considerably. There was a record set in 2013 when highway congestion was normal. They're running the Cannonball Run from New York to L.A. They've done it again. A group of guys are saying, let's do this again. Now what traffic is down almost 50% on average. Now, police have already identified, and know, I should say, that there are numerous speeders running around the country right now. And they're seeing an increase in speeding, and they're racking out the tickets left and right. You get a stretch of highway, you open it up, or you're down a street, and you don't expect anyone to be there, even a downtown business street. No one's in the buildings. You can race down. They're going to catch a lot of them. So they're getting them running red lights or getting them speeding down, so forth. This particular group, they have not come publicly forward. There was a picture of one of the cars they were using, and it had an extra fuel tanks, two additional fuel tanks in the trunk to allow it to extend the range between fill-ups. And at the same time, they were able to run longer and not have it to make stops. Pity the driver if he's drinking a big gulp, however. It's a long, long way to the next stop. Maybe they had a lot of sale on the pins. I don't know. But this latest Cannonball Run, they have completed, and now they're making it public. There's a YouTube video they put out. They, again, don't identify the drivers, but it monitored a live track of that trip online and all documented. It took place April 4th through the 6th. And they say they have now set and documented a new record time running across the nation. The previous record, just interesting, it didn't beat it by that much. The previous record set back in November, 27 hours, 25 minutes. 27 hours, 25 minutes. This new record from, let me see, what's the location they pulled out of? In New York, let me find the name of it, the Portofino Inn, I'm sorry, a Red Ball Garage in New York, New York City's Red Ball Garage, racing to the Portofino Inn in Redondo Beach, California. They did it in 26 hours, 38 minutes. 27 hours, 25 minutes previously. This one, 26 hours, 38 minutes. It's a new record, but doesn't seem to be that much difference, does it? And, of course, they said, you know, we obviously are aware that while speeding and doing this, if we hit something and get someone killed, it's on us, obviously. But it went fine. They didn't want to put any advance notice out, obviously. Certainly so they wouldn't be pulled over by police every time. But apparently they never got pulled over. They never had any ticket issued. They were just running low and fast. Now, the thing about this is, the average speed over that would have been 103 miles an hour. You take that across the nation, 103 miles an hour, you're tracking pretty good. So, just want to let you know, some people found another way to use this shutdown for some kind of advantage. Does it really mean anything? No, it's just, they did it. They did it because there was open runway, and we're going to do it. I don't think that you're going to see anyone else try it right away again, because once one like this happens, you'll probably see the begin to watch a little closer for any possibility of some copycats coming along. We'll see. So here we are going into Easter Sunday. As I said, we are in Passover for our Jewish friends right now, and Sunday will be our most holy day for Christians. And yes, yesterday, I guess I was so anxious to get to the end of the week, I signed off program yesterday indicating we'd be back Monday. Well, obviously, we're here today. I just got ahead of myself. One thing James Herson brought up a moment ago, which I agree with, when we're talking about the virus, churches, church service, religion, even if folks aren't religious, I've seen on Facebook a lot of comments, folks saying, you know, joking around, well, now I got time to do the chores, now I got this, now I'm out of chores, what do I do? And others acknowledging, you know, it's tranquil. No schedule I had to rush to. And, of course, some are getting bored. Some are questioning, is it going to violate my rights as we continue? But if it's turning into just a time of reflection, there's some good out of this. And the earth, we look at the pollution, ozone levels are down, giving the earth a chance to breathe a little bit better. There could be a lot of good come out of it. Unfortunately, we've had some deaths. Our prayers go for those who are sick and those we still are concerned about, because we're not out of this yet. What I do for this weekend, though, is wish for you and your family a blessed Easter. And regardless of your religion, may you have some blessings in your life. As always, I appreciate you listening. We will be back Monday. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.